Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Masaba Gupta. Each week on How I Masaba from Luminary, I talk to one incredible woman about how they do, well, them. These are the inspirational mindsets, necessary daily practices, and only funny in hindsight experiences that have defined and continue to drive our culture's greatest. My guest today is from the food industry. She's worked with the biggest names in the industry, Gagan Anand, Gordon Ramsay, and a little place called Noma with the legendary Renee Redzepi. This was all before she started her own restaurant. She's quickly building a reputation as one of the best chefs in the world, and oh, she just happens to have a Michelin star in her back pocket. From Ga in Bangkok, please welcome Garima Arora. Garima, thank you so much for being here and for doing this. I want to start with asking you a very interesting question. At least it's interesting for me. There seems to be this perception that elite kitchens like yours have this insane, super high stress environment, right, to work in. There's people yelling, they're swearing at each other, there's like food flying around, all of that. Is it just a very different world that you're experiencing?
Let me start by saying that it may not be as intense as it used to, but see, the matter of the fact remains that cooking is an extremely demanding profession. It's, of course, physically quite demanding, mentally exhausting, but also it drains you sort of emotionally as well. There's a lot that goes into working with a team for 12, 14, 16 hours a day, the same people with so much pressure.
And in close quarters, right? You're not like, there's no space. You're in each other's space.
And it can be an extremely competitive environment as well. So yeah, I mean, they're not far off, but I don't know about flying food. That's not a good, that's never a good thing in any kitchen. But yeah, I mean, tempers flying, that happens. Attitude flaring, that happens. All of that stuff happens. But yeah, I mean, it's a high-pressure environment, no doubt.
But I also believe, Garima, that food has a different taste when there's a different kind of energy involved. And I think when you're in that room with so many people and it's high stress and everyone's sort of, you know, up and down, do you feel like you're sort of absorbing or catching on to anyone else's energy that you don't necessarily want to catch on to because it affects the way you cook? How do you deal with something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. That happens. You can, one unhappy table, one unhappy guest can put your entire service out of whack. That's happened to us. I bet it's the same for you as well. I mean, working in a team, we're not a very big team. We're around 14, 15 of us. But I think everybody brings something to the table. Some people are highly skilled. Some people are really good team players. Some people know how to kind of balance energies in the kitchen. So not everybody is there because they are, oh my God, the best cooks you can ever find. Building a team is just so much more than simply skill.
Yeah, different types of people coming together.
That's it. So that's one way where the team kind of takes care of themselves. You always have somebody who kind of is a buffer when things are going south. There's somebody playing a good cop, bad cop. That always happens. But yeah, I think finally it's a service industry. It all starts and ends with the guests. So when we have a difficult guest, that energy can really get the entire kitchen down. So the best thing we do is we don't pay attention. I mean, what else can you?
Yeah, just forget about it and move on to the next dish and the next item.
Yeah, that's it. You can listen to your, people, well, everybody has an opinion about everything these days. You kind of have to see through it all and see what you want to take in and move on from the rest, I guess. So.
I've just recently started going back to restaurants, and I wanted to ask you this, since you mentioned a bad table can really set the mood, right, in the kitchen. I feel like people these days have, their taste is very sort of sensitized, you know. They're very particular all of a sudden about the food they're eating, and small changes, small inconsistencies, if I may call it, just seem to set them off in a big way. How do you and your team sort of deal with that? Just making sure that, listen, you know the difference between an unhappy customer and somebody who's just trying to make life difficult for you.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things when you learn with practice. The more difficult guests you deal with, the better you are at dealing with them. But I always feel that guests, and this is what I tell most guests as well and people who dine out, that if there's a problem, let the team know then and there, and they can do something about it.
Right.
While you're still in the restaurant.
Right.
Nobody wants you to leave with a bad experience.
And then tweet about it.
I really think these Google reviews, we should be allowed to review the guest back.
Well done. Well said. Listen, coming
right?
from somebody
like less than
who's
three
in
stars,
fashion,
you can't get a reservation in my restaurant.
Absolutely. I mean, I sometimes feel like it's just irrational, right? I mean, when we have reviews, I have people coming into stores who are badly behaved. I have people walking into, you know, fashion week, badly behaved sometimes. And I'm just like, can I say something, or is the customer always king? You know, I feel like that is such, it's a thin line, but hopefully we'll all get there. But what I wanted to ask you, Garima, what I'm hearing is that, you know, you have a lovely team. You believe in the idea of teamwork. There is this conversation about building the right culture at work. And with your teams at your restaurant, or at any restaurant for that matter, is the act of building the right culture something that you actively work towards?
But I'll be honest, on the onset, there was never the plan or the idea. The onset was, okay, let's open a restaurant and get this thing going. The last thing I thought about, what kind of a workplace I want, honest to God.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like it builds itself, right?
I think especially when it's your first business and you start off, it's your personality or your traits or your characteristics that kind of seep down to everybody. And those are the kind of people you attract. And the ones who don't fit in kind of over a period of time move on. And the rest stay with you. And that's how you kind of build your core team, and you have a work culture that that is you. But then it comes with having to spend a lot of time in that place, I feel.
You know, Garima, I feel like you have to lead from the front. You know, you sort of become the flag bearer of whatever culture it is that you want to, you know, bring about in your office. And if you don't do something or don't practice something, I feel like no one else will. No one else will pick it up.
True. Especially in the first couple of years. We always have opportunities to kind of instill a moral compass with the team. You have, circumstances that crop up that, you know, you act a certain way, and then your team kind of picks up on that, and they know how to deal with that situation the next time without you having being involved.
So you clearly are at a stage where you've got, you know, you found your identity as a chef and also as someone running the business, right? Now, obviously, both of these need to go hand in hand, but they require very different skill sets. And I'm speaking from experience where, you know, I have to sometimes just put my creative brain completely off and put on my commerce brain, or vice versa. Do both sides come easily to you?
I think yes and no. The commercial side of things, I think, is forcefully that you kind of just have to think about. You don't have much of a choice. You know, you don't learn this in any kitchen.
Not even in any fashion school, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like in school, nobody teaches you how to do your taxes, but that's what you actually need to learn, right? I mean, it's one of those things that the practical side of any business is kind of missed sometimes. But whether you like it or not, you kind of have to step up and figure it all out.
And also delegate, I'm sure, right? With you, you might have people who are better at something than you are.
I'm also learning that now. I need to get people who know a little bit more than me, I feel. But that's so true. Even in the kitchen, I've always hired people with skill sets that I don't have. And this is something I think a lot of chefs feel they're hesitant to admit that I don't know everything. There are some things I'm really good at. There are other things that I lack. And of course, I'm going to hire people that I lack skills for. I'm not going to hire people who can do the same things that I can do.
Yeah, or yes people for that matter. I think we all need people who tell us what we're doing wrong and point that out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So essential.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it all comes down to finally kind of making an ecosystem that where everybody prospers, not just you and your business, but also the people around you, I feel. It's important that you create a system where somebody is not with you forever. They go in the direction that they should or they need to.
No, and I think a big part of that is running the system like a well-oiled machine, right? I really believe in that. Processes over people, or people and processes together, right? Because I think that's very important. I now hire people who can set those processes so that I can, you know, keep the legacy sort of going, right?
Well, you need to teach me how to hire like that, because I don't know how to.
I'm too new.
It's always like 6 months. Move aside. Let me do this.
Exactly. Well, I'm kind of in between right now. I'm like micromanaging and making everyone's life hell. But I'm also like, why aren't you doing your job? But they're like, can you let us? So yeah.
It's no winning. No?
There's no winning. It's a creative thing. I think it's a creative versus thing. I feel like, speaking of creative people, creative pursuits, we speak about art, we speak about design, music, and food in your case. There comes a point when it becomes work. It's just, okay, I have to get up, I put on my shirt, and it's the same routine over and over again. Does the magic ever fade away?
Listen, this is something, you know, follow your passion and you will never work a day in your life is utter garbage. I don't know who came up with this. No, it doesn't work like that. Work is work. There are days where you just, 99% of the times, it's a struggle where you're trying to make things work. But that 1% when everything falls in place and you have that moment when you realize that everything in your head is out there, in my case, on a plate, or this perfect service you've had, or a menu that is just where it needs to be, or whatever it may be, that 1% of the time makes the 99% worth it. So I don't know. I've never had this like, oh my God, I love what I do. And this is, I don't understand that.
You know, I was, I remember there was this one elderly gentleman once. I'll never forget this. I think it happened 8 years back. And he told me, he said, you know, you girls who have design houses are just doing masti. I swear to God. I think I pinned that statement up on my board. And I said, you have to come spend a day in my chair, in my office, beautiful light. And it's just like pieces, threads everywhere. And you're just firefighting, like you said, right? You're firefighting 99% of the time for that 1% of joy.
This is a classic. I think whoever this person is a little bit jealous.
Ah. You know,
thinks that you're having a little bit too much fun and wants to get in on that fun. There's nothing more long and short of it. It's just that.
It's, thank you. That's nice closure for me, Garima. I was waiting for that closure myself.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way to look at it, man. I mean, how else? Why else would somebody go down this road and mention how much fun you're having? But yeah, going back to this, I mean, yeah, you've got to take life seriously. You have to be disciplined. Like I said, 99% of the time, it's suffering. And you get through that with discipline. You have to put your mind to it and do it. And when you come to the other side, that's vindictive. That feels good. That's the achievement that you're craving.
I feel like I'm speaking to a shrink, which is wonderful. That's why this podcast is happening.
Yeah,
it's my there personal therapy session. But tell me, personally, Garima, what's your time off like? Do you find yourself going to new restaurant openings? How judgmental are you? You know, all of that.
You'd be surprised how little I eat out myself.
Really?
I think the last couple of years, I haven't traveled at all. Yeah, but I think I've kind of become a more domesticated person in the last 2 years myself. So my day starts with a workout. I'm so glad I started
Well done.
Working out.
So you're investing in yourself. Time. This period of your life is you investing in yourself.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. So I was in a place, 2 years ago where it was too much nachos and champagne every night. And you know, how
my favorite combo.
We chefs get together and it's just, we have such a bad lifestyle, man. You would think that chefs eat well, but we are the poorest eaters.
Really? Why is that? Do you not spend time cooking for yourself? Is that a...
You'll be surprised how little we do that. So mostly what happens is you finish work and then, you know, you catch up at someone's restaurant and then, okay, you start opening bottles of wine and then you're ordering pizzas and it's always late nights and it's not enough rest. And it's okay when you're in your 20s, right?
I was just going to say, okay, all the chefs are teenagers. Just like teenagers eating pizza and drinking too much wine.
Yeah, but your body doesn't know that, right? When your body turns 30, it's like, excuse me, hold on.
All slows
suddenly
down.
Your weight starts shooting up and you're like, what went wrong? I'm eating everything I eat all the time, which is like fried taquitos, and that's what's going to happen, right? So I think, I realized that I can't keep going on like that. I put on a ridiculous amount of weight. And I put a stop to that. I started working out. I started eating healthy. I was much happier then, though. I was chubbier, but happier.
I feel like that, too. I mean, when I was 10 kgs up, which was about 2-3 years back, I mean, I wasn't happier, but I was happy, you know? I was like, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm happy. So what's your problem?
Yeah.
You know, stop shaming me.
That's
it's happy weight.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So now, before you had your own restaurant, which we'll come to in a bit, you've been a part of some of the most coveted positions in the industry. Now, there was Noma. What did you expect walking into the kitchen on your first day there?
Nothing, I'll be honest. I mean, I was, I think it was my second, third job. I was still quite young in that way.
How old were you?
I think I was 24.
Wow.
I think more importantly, I think if you go chronologically, I have to start with my first internship or paid internship, which was at Gordon Ramsay's, right?
Yeah.
In Dubai.
I
entered the kitchen thinking I'm the best thing that's happened to this industry.
Okay.
You all can now calm down. I have arrived. That was my attitude. Okay. But
the queen
thank
is here.
God, my head chef picked on that, very systematically broke me down. It was not an easy 6 months when I realized, okay, I don't know anything. And I'm glad he was so harsh and so strict with me because he knew if he wouldn't, I probably would never learn. And 6 months into my internship, when I finally was offered a job there, that's when I think I understood that this attitude is something that I have to leave at home. Keep your head down, work hard. That's the only way forward. And that was, I think, the best lesson that anybody could have taught me at that time and that the age that I was at. Because we Indian kids can be a little entitled sometimes.
God. You know, it's our parents. It's our parents. You can kill somebody. You can kill 8 or 10 people, but they think the sun shines out of your backside. Indian parents. Indian grandparents, even worse. You know?
I don't know. I don't know whether my parents were like that. They were definitely not like that, but I don't know why.
Where did you pick it up from? A neighbor?
Could be. It has to be my brother. Yes, I would blame on him. I have a younger brother who's... Okay, maybe I should not say it here, but I must have picked this attitude up from him.
Okay.
Contagious.
Contagious. Contagious.
Yeah.
But it's nice to be confident, but I feel like... I love the part where you said, you know, that the head chef just broke you open. I really believe that sometimes being broken open is such a painful process while it's happening. But then once it's done, you just emerge as a whole new person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely agreed. Mm. Yeah, you kind of learn things about yourself. You can't be that timid or that weak that any little criticism that comes your way or any hardship that comes your way, you stop doing what you want to do. That's the joy of life, that things are difficult and you learn to make it easy. And in the process, you acquire new skills and experiences that help you make things easy. That's what growing up is. That's what living is. If everything is supposed to be easy, then no wonder you look for microaggressions to kind of overcome your day.
Yeah, and things will get dull. They get dull.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And tell me about your restaurant. Tell me everything about it.
I think for me, it's recreating India outside of the country. We're just kind of scratching the surface right now, I feel. There's so much more to learn and discover. For me personally, before I can take it to the table. But yeah, the idea is to pick up Indian flavors, Indian techniques, and apply it to ingredients that we find in Thailand and then see what comes out of that. But this is something I've always believed about. Oh, not always. I've kind of learned, especially because I spent so much time outside of India working with so many different cuisines. I think what French cuisine has done for
just globally
the modern European cuisine,
yeah.
The fact that it's codified, it's written down, it's broken down in a very scientific and a very methodical way, that gives a cook, a modern cook, a lot of, it gives you a lot of resources to kind of rework what you have today, mm-hmm. kind of make things contemporary. But Indian cuisine has the same attributes, or even more so, to do what French cuisine did for, say, European cuisine in general.
Right.
Indian cuisine can do for Asian cuisine, mm-hmm. I feel. But the point remains that somebody needs to sit and then codify this and like write it all down and break it down to techniques, to ingredients, to seasons. All of that needs to kind of happen. But that's work of a lifetime for 1,000 people, I feel. So that's what we try to do. Pick up these interesting techniques and then kind of apply it to what we have here. So the result is something which when you eat is obviously Indian, but it's like, okay, but how? But why? Oh, which is also fun when you eat out. Like when I eat out, I wanna have a feeling of something I've never eaten before. You know that moment where you eat something and you're like, you're trying to make a connection.
Yeah,
but you can't
put a finger on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that only happened to us as kids. I don't know. For me, I remember the first time I ate cheese pizza. Oh my God. Like it blew my mind. I mean, it still does that to me, but like it blew my mind then how, right? So I remember that feeling, like I ate it and I was just like, my God, what is the discovery I have made? And I went running to my dad, like, have you tried this thing? But that feeling of eating something for the first time, you know, everything in your brain sparks, your palate is on fire.
Yeah, everything's just
your brain's
firing.
Kind of
There's
thinking.
Like multiple tabs open in your brain at that point.
That feeling is what I chase as a diner and also as a cook. Okay, how can I make people feel that? So that's something that's easy to do when you apply these Indian techniques to ingredients that are probably outside our geographic area, which is fun.
So easy to please me. I just realized that each time I eat a Mari biscuit, it's like, what just happened? What just happened in my mouth? You know? So I'm very easy to please.
But you're very easy. Then Mari biscuit is all you need.
I put Mari biscuit on everything, by the way. It's disgusting. I put it on my ice cream. I put everything. And I crush it strategically. And then I put it on everything. Now that you have your own Michelin star, where were you when you found out?
We just hired a new som in the restaurant, a new sommelier. So we're doing a tasting in the private dining room during service. So there's service going on. The chef's running the food in the kitchen. Meanwhile, we were sitting in the private dining room doing the wine tasting and kind of tasting our food. And it was Jibby, who was, she's basically my right hand. And then there's Tirana, who handles our PR and marketing, but now she kind of does everything in the restaurant. So it was the three of us and our som doing this tasting. And I was tasting. I was like, damn, this food's so good. I don't understand why people don't eat here every day. Talking about my own food. But at that very moment, I got a call, right? So they were like, okay, hello, we're from Michelin. So I was like, okay. And I stepped outside into the balcony to take the call. And so Tirana tried to follow me out. And I just gave her like a look like, just wait. I don't know what it was, but both Tirana and Jibby at that moment knew exactly what the phone call was. I don't know. It's like the two of them helped me build every single thing I have today. And in that moment, even before I told them anything, they knew what that phone call was. And before I could even get out of the balcony and come back in, Tirana was already in tears. Jibby was, she doesn't show any emotion. Like, I've not gotten a hug out of her in these 5 years, other than that one day.
That one day, yeah.
She just leapt at me. And I was like, how did you know? We just know. And like, it was with the right people at the right moment at the right time. And it was validating in so many ways. We had a lot of kind of naysayers around us. But at that point, this was the first validation that we got. And the team was so happy.
Yeah.
I can't forget the moment the team found out. My God. The party they threw themselves that night.
But I hope you cooked yourself the best dish ever that night. I hope you did. Or you were just like,
No, I ordered nachos, man. I have this thing for nachos, apparently. Not anymore now. I don't eat it. It's like once in 6 months. What's your guilty food? Like, you have to have something.
Okay, I will break it down for you. My guilty food is...
All right.
Wait for it. Vanilla ice cream with...
Mari biscuit.
Crushed Mari biscuit.
Sorry.
I have to crush it. Because the girl who's in my house, she doesn't crush it properly. It's uneven chunks, right? So I have to like really crush it. And then some sort of like a drizzle of chocolate sauce or maybe like a chocolate cake that's slightly warm, 30 seconds.
Are you sure you're a designer and not a chef? Because you have all the traits of a very uptight head chef. This is not how you crush it.
We need to switch. We need to switch roles because clearly you're just eating nachos and you have a Michelin star.
Yeah, I'm not doing justice to this profession.
Okay, I'm going to end with a quick rapid fire. This is my most favorite thing ever. Do you cook outside of work? Do you enjoy it?
No, yes, I do. Don't get... Okay, listen. Most days I don't. But when I have some free time, I do cook. And then I really enjoy cooking. Mm. I don't eat my own cooking. That's another thing. I cook for people around me. I don't know whether you wear your own designs or not.
I guess you do. Yeah, you're right. I just feel like I want to wear other stuff.
There you go. So I like to eat other people's food more than I like to eat mine. But I do cook. I love barbecuing. So every time I'm back home, I definitely do a barbecue. I love grilling.
Okay. In your opinion, what city has the best street food in the world?
There's no correct answer. It really depends on the day of the week and the mood you're in.
Top three.
Okay. It's so difficult. I don't even know how to choose between Bombay or Delhi. Okay, I'm not going to do any Indian cities. I'll leave Indian cities.
How about like Kolkata?
Yeah, okay. How do I choose? Calcutta for something and then Bombay for Bhel Puri and then Delhi for Alu Chaat. I mean, like you can't choose.
Okay, so Bombay, Delhi, Cal. That was simple.
Okay, then let's do Bombay, Delhi, Cal. Is it my rapid fire or is it your rapid fire?
I'm just like, as a saliva is not good when you're doing a podcast, right? Because you can hear it. But anyway, okay. Your favorite place to dine at when you're with friends and family?
My dad's place. His kitchen. We always have Sunday brunches at his place. I always do dinner parties at home. He still loves cooking. He cooks a lot. He's kind of trained everybody around him to do now tasting menus. His brunches are the famous. We start at noon and we finish at like 8 p.m. So the wines are selected, the food is selected and comes course by course and glass by glass. And it's just a delightful, boozy, you know, stomach-filled.
All-day dining.
Truly all-day dining. Takes it to literally.
Yeah. Now, your family will always be honest with you, obviously, right? In their critique of your cooking, right? But What's the weirdest response that you've got from friends or family to something that you've cooked?
The weirdest response? Yeah, just like pin drop silence.
Wow, that is no response is a big response.
It was hard, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd just come back from culinary school and I made like a ceviche for my dad and my brother. And I think that time my now husband, then boyfriend, he was at home as well. And then like I served it to three of them. They were just quiet. I could hear the air conditioning go.
What went wrong? What went so wrong?
I didn't slice the fish thin enough. I fucked it up. Sorry, I'm going to say that yet. I really messed it up. That was my first time making ceviche. Then I don't know what. I think it was before I went to culinary school even. Yeah. I think I just got one of these cookbooks. Too chunky. Mm. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's not a ceviche. I don't know about that. But they ate it. And after a couple of bites, they were like, do you mind just cooking this and giving it to us?
Just make some khichdi instead, you know? Play safe.
Yeah, that was difficult to get through.
Garima, thank you so much for this incredible chat.
Thank you.
Wow, I took away so much from this conversation. I feel like, who are you? You're a chef who's addicted to workouts. You are a human
being. And nachos,
being.
Don't forget to workouts and nachos.
A human being, which is why I didn't say chef. A human being addicted to nachos and champagne, which is nice. And also someone who is slowly but surely learning to let go and delegate, which is such a big thing for all of us women, right? I think we by nature we're multitaskers and we like managing things. We are managers, essentially. We know how to run things, but I feel like that about you. I feel like you've got it in control, but now you're learning to let the babies grow and just become their own people. So that's lovely.
Yeah, well, I think I discovered that about myself as well.
Yeah.
We should do these chats more often.
Yeah, and you're also a shrink. Congratulations. Thank you for my session.
Why do I feel that I've been in therapy? But it's like great. Very cathartic for both of us. Very nice.
Yes. In the next episode of How I Masaba, I'm speaking to the iconic Indian actor, Vidya Balan. Tune in next week.
You were listening to How I Masaba only on Luminary. The podcast is produced by Monisha Singh Katyal and Rainshine Entertainment. Ritika Bajaj is our creative producer and Palash Kulkarni is our executive producer. The research for this episode was done by Anushka Mukherjee. The mix engineer for this episode is Arya Nanji. Artist management by Versus Entertainment LLP. The music supervisor for the episode is Ankur Srivastav. The episode was recorded at Island City Studios, Mumbai.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.